Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. In 1905, Hanley Moll wrote a book on 2 Timothy called Short Devotional Studies on the Dying Letter of St. Paul. Moll was a professor, a theologian, and a bishop in the Church of England. Here's what he wrote, here's what he said about the trustworthy saying we're going to consider this morning. Now, there sounds in St. Paul's inner ear a solemn chant of pain and praise, of trial and glory. An early Christian hymn, as we may confidently take it to be. Across the long ages, through the profound silence of the past, we seem to catch the music of those dear Christian voices which blend in the sacrifice of song. Can you hear them chanting in the upper chamber, around the table of Holy Communion, on the shore at parting, or even on the last march to martyrdom? They come to us as the voices of the faithful church, even as the letter which enshrines and authenticates them is the Spirit's voice through the apostolic prophet and pastor. I've been thinking this week about my favorite albums. Not my favorite musical artists, not my favorite songs, but my favorite albums. Do you guys have favorite albums? Albums that you return to? Albums that stick with you? Why are they your favorite? Well, for me, I have a special relationship with a few albums because they've been the soundtrack of pivotal moments in my life. Just one example. There's one album I can remember listening to the morning that I graduated from college. I was walking to McDonald's to get breakfast. I can remember listening to this same album as I drove to Philadelphia to propose to my future wife. I was on I-70 going across Ohio. The same album I used to listen to when I would take these really long runs in the San Bernardino Mountains in Southern California, and I was really wrestling with the thought of what to do with my life, whether I should go to seminary, whether I should pursue what I do now. You know, the songs on the album, they didn't change, of course. But like the lyrics and the themes and the melodies were vast and expansive enough that they helped me make sense of these different crucial periods of my life. Well, my relationship to the trustworthy saying that I just read is like a great album. It's something that you can return to. It's something that sticks with you, something that can accompany you through different periods of your life. Each line, there's four lines, each line is like a different song. And it says, each line says something essential about life in Christ. So let's go through them really quickly. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we died with him, we will also live with him. What does that mean? Well, becoming a Christian is in some ways a recognition of your need for a Savior. And it's a giving yourself over to the Savior. And it's a kind of death to our need for control. But it's a death that leads to life, abundant life, because life with the Lord gives you more satisfaction, more meaning, more goodness than you would ever hope to receive. If you die, you live. And if you endure, line two, you reign. If you endure, you reign. Life in Christ is always good, but it's not always easy. You know, there's suffering, there's temptation, there's trial. Earlier in 2 Timothy 2, Paul describes Christians as soldiers who obey their commanding officers, even when those commands are hard. He also says that we are like athletes, marathon runners who train and train and train. You know, there is, at a very basic level, a need for endurance. But there's also a prize, reigning with Jesus. This life will end. We will be transformed, and we will share in the eternal glory of God's kingdom. We will reign with Jesus. If we endure, we will reign. But if we disown him, he will disown us. Endurance is not automatic. And we can reject the Lord's gift of life. On this line, if we disown him, he will disown us. I don't think that's referring to a momentary lapse, but a calcified, almost immovable no to the Lord. And what this verse is a reminder that we have the capacity to spurn God's generosity. And it's a reminder of the terrifying, dreadful consequences of that decision. If we disown him, if we say no to him, he will disown us. But even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I think this fourth line, this final line, is a promise between the two extremes of endurance and apostasy or rejection of the Lord. And I think this final line, this fourth line, speaks to most of us where we actually are. Because most of us are not elite endurance athletes for Jesus Christ. And most of us aren't, you know, spiritual Navy SEALs. But most of us aren't also people who are going to flat out reject the Lord. Most of us are somewhere in the middle, right? We keep some promises, we break others. We have good days and we have bad days. We take two steps forward and one step back. At least that's where I am. That's what I see when I wake up in the morning. And for people like you and me, our only hope is the unending mercy of God. And here it is. Even when we're faithless, God remains faithful. In Christ, God makes up for all of our lack. In Christ, God doesn't treat us as we deserve. And that's good news. So life, endurance, danger, security, that's what this album, this trustworthy saying is all about. Now, when you go see your favorite band in concert, are you going primarily to hear them talk about their songs? Let's see a show of hands. All right, well, how about show of hands to those who go to hear your favorite band play your favorite songs? Okay, that's what I thought. So as I was preparing for the message this week, and I said, I mean, I have a special relationship with this passage of scripture, so it's, you know, challenging to think about how to talk about it. What I came away with was the strong sense that I do not want to explain or talk too much about the passage. I feel like these words are meaningful enough to create their own sense of meaning. They don't require a lot of explanation. And so we're going to do something a little bit different for most of our time, our allotted time. We are going to meditate on this passage together, and we're going to share a little bit about what we've all experienced. So I'm going to ask for all of your participation in an unusual way. Basically, what we're going to do is, it's going to be very simple. We're going to read this passage four different times by ourselves, and I'm going to ask you to respond a little bit differently after each reading. Simple enough, right? And then we'll talk a little bit about it. I promise I'll guide you through it. I'm assuming that most of you have never done the type of reading that I'm going to guide us through, so I'll try and be very simple. But I want to encourage you. I mean, the heartbeat, like the basic heartbeat of my spiritual life, and I think a lot of our spiritual lives, is hearing God speak to us through his word. That is like the nuts and bolts of thriving as a Christian. Being able to hear God impress his truth upon your heart through Holy Scripture. If you know how to do that, if you've kind of cultivated that skill, it enables you to flourish as a Christian in a way that it's just simply not possible if you are constantly hungry for God, but don't know where or how to eat. And so one of the reasons why we want to do that, why I want to do this, is because I do want to help, you know, model and implicitly teach you all how to open your Bible and meaningfully read and be nourished from the words that God has given us in Scripture. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's all take out this. It's really helpful to have the words in front of you. And what we're going to do the first time through, I want to encourage you to simply read the passage. 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 13. Read it slowly. It's all you have to do. Read it slowly. Give ourselves a couple minutes, and then I'll come back up. Read it slowly. Do you read it slowly? Okay, second reading. Read it slowly, common theme. And as you read it, like, pay attention or take notice of the sentences or the phrases or the maybe even a single word that jumps out. So just read it slowly, and if there's a phrase, remember Jesus Christ, or a word, endure. Maybe something jumps out. All you do is just take note of that. Like in your heart, register, huh, that word kind of jumps out at me. I wonder why. So read it slowly and take note of the words or the phrases that stick with you, that resonate in a unique way. Again, we'll take a couple minutes. Okay, step three is the crucial. It's the heart of this. So what were the phrases, the words, or the sentences that jumped out at you that were especially meaningful? Now, mull over those phrases, maybe repeat them slowly in your mind, and offer to God whatever thought spontaneously arises in your heart, and offer it as a prayer. So maybe a passage, maybe a phrase makes you thankful. Thank God for the truth that's being described. Maybe a passage is super confusing. Ask God to give you clarity so that you understand it. Maybe something is encouraging. Thank God for the way he's encouraging you through that word. Whatever, and you know, it's kind of a dialogue. you offer a prayer to the Lord because of something he's doing in your heart, then you go back to God's word and then do another prayer. Does that make sense? It's kind of a dialogue. Again, we'll take a couple minutes. Offer to the Lord as a prayer the thoughts which arise by reading the passage. Final prompt. Read the passage one more time and then just sit in silence, letting your heart rest in God. Simply sit in silence and let your heart rest in God. We'll have about a minute. All right. You guys enjoy that? So how would you guys feel if we have a little bit of time, if we kind of broke into groups of like four, like maybe each row, or, you know, four to five people that you're sitting next to, and just spend a minute or two, each of us sharing what we got out of that exercise, something God did in our lives, in our hearts, question we had, that was really boring, just share your reaction. Sometimes what we learn is clarified as we talk about it. So let's take 5 minutes and just in your row, just share a little bit about what you experienced. Doesn't have to be positive. All right. I'm sure we're all having a lot of fun talking about our summer vacations. So could I have a couple particularly brave souls share with the whole group what they got out of this exercise or ways in which God spoke to them through his word? And these should be positive. So would anyone like to share? Yeah, Randy. Could you say that? Could you repeat that in the microphone? Sorry.
Oh, microphone. The word of God is not chained, and sometimes I look at what's going on in the world and feel like I'm being squeezed in as a believer, but God's word isn't chained.
Wow.
It is not chained.
It's awesome.
That was very encouraging.
Someone in my group said that to you. That's great. All right. Would anyone else like to share? Yeah. Shelley? I'll get Chris next. All right. I didn't even see who that was. I just heard the name Chris. Oh, what's happening here? Oh, Chris Nowak. Yeah, Chris. Jeez.
First, I'll confess I've done something like this before.
Praise God.
But, I too focused on God's word is not chained. But when I started pondering that a little bit, I kind of started thinking about myself and how I look at my life, and I get hung up on my restrictions and my failures, and I forget that there is something better to look at out there, and that's the fact that in God there is no restrictions and there is no failures. So for me, the ultimate message I think was just to remember who is the perfect one, and in that and within him is the real freedom to live in our brokenness.
Mm. Wow, that's awesome. Shelly, you don't need a microphone, Shelly.
We're recording.
Oh, great, great. Never mind.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, God's word is not chained. And even though we read this passage, all four of us in our thing, each one of us were touched by something different within the passage. And when we all shared, it was touched us so much we were all crying when we were each sharing what we were doing. And, you know, enduring through trial and God's faithfulness was huge in our group. You know, just that even when we are faithless, he is so faithful. And his word, he's not left us with nothing. You know, he gave us the Holy Spirit, but also his word as a guidebook for life. So it was awesome exercise. Thank you.
Thanks.
And we all want to know what album it was.
Oh. If I say that and it's recorded, I might lose my job. So we're not going to do that. It's not on Caleb, let's put it that way. All right, let's stand and let's exchange peace with one another.